Hey there, welcome to today's Facebook Live session on our meal prep plan and why that can help you during busy weeknights when you're trying to get dinner on the table. A proper meal prep plan, which is different from a meal plan, how that meal prep plan can save you on busy weeknights. So welcome, welcome. My name is Monica Metz. I am your host today. I am a certified health coach. And I help people eat more veggies so they can feel better and look amazing. So anyway, I'm so glad you're here. If you're watching live or on the replay, thank you for making time for yourself to just figure out how to get those healthier meals on the table more consistently. Like I say, often we can pull a rabbit out of a hat, you know, here and there. But the real trick, the real magic is making this happen consistently, day after day, night after night, so we can make those changes that we want to see in our lives. So if you're joining me live, let me know. Please post a comment. I would love to hear from you. And certainly if you're having any audio issues or anything like that, please do let me know. You know, I'm going to actually check my phone because I was having some Facebook issues earlier this week. And that way I'll have a little redundancy if for whatever reason, if I'm not seeing your comments, hopefully they'll show up on my phone and I can kind of stay updated that way. Okay. Oh, okay. So I see. Yeah. I don't know why. Let's see. Comments. Yes. Okay. Julia, I see you. And then welcome. Nice to see you. And then I see Penelope is here. Lori. So great to see you. Anytime, just leave a question in the comments and I will get to your question. Okay, so today we are talking about a meal prep plan, which is totally different than a meal plan. And before I get started, I just want to remind you that if you need a little extra support, I made this free plant-powered starter kit freebie for you. You can find it at monicametz.com/starter kit. But the reason this would come in handy, and you'll find out when we're talking today, is there are a couple different resources in here that you would probably like to take advantage of, which include, Mastering the Simple Meal. We can all use that. But you're going to be particularly interested in the pages that are called Batch It Out, or Prep It Out, as I like to say. And then I have this Weekend Meal Prep Checklist. So go over to monicametz.com/starter kit and totally free, just sign up to receive the PDF and you'll have a great resource for after this class is over. Okay, so we are talking about the meal plan and the meal prep plan. And I would say you need both ideally, but a meal prep plan, in my opinion, is actually more important when it comes to getting those healthy meals on the table more consistently with less hassle and with less kind of decision overwhelm. So the meal plan, I covered this in my class last week. And so if you missed that, you can find the replay on my blog at monicametz.com. But the first lesson was all about like, hey, what is a meal plan? How can we optimize it? How can we be really, really efficient with it? How can we use a meal plan to reduce that kind of decision fatigue that we get when it comes to deciding what to make for dinner? Sometimes we don't know. We're so tired from the day, we can't really even make those decisions. Sometimes it's even hard to decide what kind of takeout to order. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes that happens to me and I'm like scrolling. And then after a while, I'm like, I don't know, you guys figure it out, you know? So we've all been there. So the meal plan, this was a really important part of this kind of three-part series. So if you haven't seen it, go back to my blog, check it out. But it was really all about how can we come up with a meal plan a little bit ahead of time. So the week before, you know, like Thursday, Friday, doing your meal plan then for the week ahead. And then using some tips and tricks like I shared last week about coming up with theme nights so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel every week. Like, you know, out of 100 recipes that you say you have, that you might have in your head, how do we kind of narrow that down? So we just know, okay, like Monday, I'm always going to try a meatless meal. Tuesday, always going to be Taco Tuesday. Wednesday, it's always going to be pasta night. Maybe Thursday, you have some leftovers from one of the other nights. And then Friday, maybe you're always like, okay, it's going to be DIY pizza night. Whatever it is, if you come up with those theme nights, it can make meal planning a lot simpler for you. And you don't have to make the same taco recipe or the same pasta recipe every week. Of course, you can be switching around your recipes, but at least you know, okay, Tuesdays are tacos and that's all I have to worry about. I might have my go-to recipe for tacos, but hey, I might mix it up and I might do something different the next week. I might do sweet potato and black bean tacos. I might do roasted veggie tacos. I might do breakfast tacos for dinner. Whatever it is, it just helps when you put a little framework on it and you have those theme nights. So that was just one of the tips we talked about in last week's class, and it's over on my blog at monicametz.com. So that's the meal plan. The meal plan is the what you plan to eat in the week ahead. It doesn't really talk about the how, doesn't talk about the why. Well, I might talk a little bit about the why, but the meal plan is really the what. It's really kind of a wish list, in my opinion, because you need the execution plan to go with it. We can wish all we want. Like, hey, next week I hope we have tacos on Tuesday night or whatever it is, but you need that execution plan to go with it. And that is what the meal prep plan is. Okay. So, let me just take a quick look at my notes. Oh, I talked about this last week. So dinner, sneaks up on us. Like the theme for last week was, why is dinner so hard to make? So many of us struggle with it. And one of the reasons I pointed out was because we just really underestimate what we're up against. You know, like we think, oh, it's just dinner. I should be able to throw that together. When in reality, in the workplace, dinner would be like a 5 to 10 step project. And so just think about, like, you're at work or you're doing what you're doing all day long. You're tired by the end of the day. You've made all these decisions throughout the day. So your decision-making facilities are reduced. Decision fatigue. And so you get to the end of the day and you just want to cruise into the evening. You might want to have like a glass of wine. You want to relax. You want to be with your family, your friends. You want to watch something on TV or Netflix. And so you start to see dinner as this obstacle that stands between you and what you want to do on the other side of dinner. And so dinner becomes this kind of obligatory thing that we have to do. So we kind of resist it. And then we don't realize, like, it's not just like whipping something together. It's a 5 to 10 step project. And so nobody really wants to take on a new 5 to 10 step project at the end of a busy day. So we're going to talk about a lot about that, about the meal prep plan, because you're taking some of those steps and you're just shifting them to the weekend so that when you come to dinner, maybe you only have 2 steps now or 1, or you're just warming stuff up. The point is that you want to move some of that off your plate, so to speak. Move it from the busy weeknight to the weekend when you have a little bit more time, you have a little bit more energy, and hopefully you have some people to help you, aka the people in your household, your family members, your partners, your spouse, your kids, other family members. Maybe you get together for a meal prep session. So that's kind of the overview of what we're going to talk about today. Okay, now the inspiration for this comes from, and if you're on my email list or you've done one of my free challenges, you know that I love a good survey. And so I always ask, what is your number one challenge when it comes to making healthy meals? And so, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's time, it's the energy, you know, I don't know what to make. But I started to notice a trend, and the trend was variations of saying my husband. So it was like, what is your number one challenge to making healthy meals or getting healthier meals on the table? My husband likes meat and potatoes. My husband's a meat guy. My kids love meat. Or just my husband. A lot of times people just say my husband. And so it could be your partner, it could be your girlfriend, boyfriend, your significant other. Whoever is your most kind of primary person in your life, that person shows up in their response. And I laughed when I first saw this. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is funny. I mean, it's, you know, the struggle is real. I get it, but I just thought, oh my gosh, what an interesting theme that people are saying my husband. And so that's kind of like the number one when it comes to family dynamics. And number two, when it comes to family dynamics, is people who are cooking for someone in their family who's a vegetarian or who is eating differently, could be plant-based, you know, vegan. And often that person is a teenager. And so I hear from a lot of moms who are saying, gosh, this is really hard because, you know, all the rest of us are eating one way, but then I have that one kid who is a vegetarian or trying to be a vegetarian, and that becomes really challenging because now that person is making 2 dinners a night. And that is a lot. Cooking one dinner is a lot for people at the end of a busy day, homeschooling your kids, remote schooling, making sure that they're on their Zoom calls, or, you're trying to work from home as well. People are really, really busy these days, and we're dealing with, obviously, a lot of extra stress in our environment, in our politics, just everywhere. The pandemic, oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. So we're all stressed out at the end of the day. Cooking one dinner is difficult. Cooking two is hardcore. So the meal prep plan is for people who are, just flat out like feeling too tired at the end of the day to make dinner, but especially for people who are struggling with that family dynamic of a spouse who wants to eat differently or another family member, like a child, a teenager who needs or wants to eat differently. So that is the motivation behind today's talk. I also wanted to talk about what happens in this dynamic is, yes, when you're trying to accommodate multiple people's preferences, sometimes, we do that and we make two dinners or, we're trying to like do our best. But then I think what happens more often, which is really sad to me, is that people who aspire to eat healthier, people who want to eat more vegetables, people who want to eat a more plant-powered diet, maybe they're not going to ever go 100% plant-based, but, they've heard how healthy it can be and they're like, I want some of that in my life. I want to eat more veggies. And their family's like, not so much. We're not into it. And then what does that person do? They give up. And that to me is heartbreaking because here you have a person who knows the science, who realizes maybe a doctor has said, hey, you should really look at a more plant-based diet because your cholesterol is getting really high and we're going to have to put you on medication. Or, hey, what if someone's like, hey, I have heart disease in my family. I don't want to develop heart disease, but now all of a sudden my cholesterol's high or there's something going on with my blood pressure. I watched Forks Over Knives, the movie, or Game Changers, and I see how that could have a positive effect on my life going more plant-based. Maybe that person is sitting there saying like, hey, I want to do that. And then the family is sitting there saying, we like what we like. And is it, you just go on a statin. It's fine. Everybody takes those cholesterol medications. That's, a lot of times that's what our family members are saying because one, nobody likes change. We're afraid of it. We're literally hardwired to be afraid of it in our evolution. People don't like change. They like the way things are. How is this going to affect me? If you start eating more plants, does that mean I need to do that too? There's a whole mess of emotions that can go along with that. But what's really heartbreaking is that the person who's the primary cook is trying to make those changes and they're getting resistance from their family members and they give up. And I totally get why they give up. But today's class is about why you don't have to give up. You can still retain your hopes and desires to be healthier, to eat more vegetables, to feel better and more empowered in your body. And we can use a meal prep plan to kind of help us navigate those situations where we're making multiple meals or, we're trying to accommodate other people's desires and preferences. Okay. So, Julia says, that was funny. My husband is always the culprit. It's true. Julia, I tell you, I would say like a third of the people who respond to my surveys say some variation of my husband. It's just the truth. It's just that meat and potatoes vibe that keeps going. And, not the healthiest for a lot of people. It would be way better if they were eating more veggies. Let's put it that way. Okay, so that is the why. That's why we're talking about this. Because I really want to help the people who have this dream of being healthier and just need that a little help to like bridge that gap and get to those healthy plant-powered meals on the table. And plant-powered, I use that expression because I'm not going to assume that everybody's going to become plant-based or vegan or vegetarian. Plant-powered to me means you're just eating more vegetables and probably less meat. That's why I use that term. Okay, so lesson one is, remember, you can go back on the replay and find out what, the meal plan was all about. The next step, once you have your meal plan, you've shopped for your groceries, you've done all that, is to set aside some time for a weekend meal prep session. Now, this really does need to happen on a consistent basis. So, how people don't really love change because we like, we feel more comfortable when things are the way they are because we don't know what change is going to bring. Like, is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? How is this going to impact me? But this is why I say that if you're going to start changing your weekend plan, most likely it's going to affect other people, like your family members and people in your household, other people in your life who you maybe take care of or you have scheduled activities with on a weekend, your church community, whatever it is. Think about like what's happening in the scope of your weekend and talk to your people and just say, hey, listen, you know, the meal prep thing has been kind of wearing me down and I want to make this easier for myself, easier for all of us. I want to kind of take out some of the drama around making dinner. And that's why I'm going to set aside some time on the weekend to prep so that the weeknights are more enjoyable for me. I can get dinner on the table more quickly and it's going to be a great experience for all of us. So step one is really just looking at your schedule, planning for something different to happen on the weekend, and then making that happen on a consistent basis. And that's why I say, well, you really need to get your people involved because they'll be affected. Because if you always do a certain activity on Saturdays or Sundays, then and with other people, then you're really going to need to have their buy-in, or at least they're going to need to be aware of what you're doing. So step one is just look at your calendar and set up some time to do this on a weekly basis. Maybe half an hour if you're just getting started. Ideally, I would say an hour, and I know that probably sounds like a lot for people. Oh my gosh, an hour. How am I going to do that? I'm so busy on the weekends anyway. Well, let me put it to you this way. If you can do some things in that hour on the weekend, watch less Netflix maybe, get up a little bit earlier. We all have the time in there if we just really look at our schedule. But if you take that hour during the weekend, your weeknights will be so much better. So much better. Like you will eliminate that stress, the decision fatigue, the coming to the end of the day, I don't know, what should I make? Then deciding what to make that meal, and then it's going to take you, you know, 45, 60 minutes sometimes. You will cut that meal prep time in half if you're able to do some stuff on the weekend. So number one is scheduling that time and talking to your people about that. And also, ideally, I don't think you should be doing this alone. You should have some help. Like, so if you are the primary cook in the household, you're cooking for your partner, your spouse, your husband, your wife, and your kids, like especially if they're teenagers, they are able-bodied. Like they can help you with things. They can rinse produce. They can spin your salad greens dry. They can, you know, store things in the refrigerator, get package them up and put them in the refrigerator. They can take out the garbage. They can help you with the prep dishes. They can wash. They can dry those dishes. There are a lot of things that the beneficiaries of your home cooking, there are a lot of things that they can help you with. So ideally, you're scheduling some time and you're enlisting some help for yourself from the people you cook for. I feel like that's fair, don't you? So if you haven't seen class one, we talked about the meal plan, so putting together the meal plan, the theme nights, all of that. And then I also talked about how to optimize your shopping list so that you will save time and money at the store or ordering groceries, whatever you're doing right now. And then I suggest that you shop on Saturday and then prep on Sunday. That seems to work really well for people. And you know, you might throughout the week, depending on how much you're cooking dinner at home, you might have to do a little bit of kind of supplemental meal prep here and there. Like, you know, I'll run out of salad greens after a couple days and then I just do that midweek or something like that. So it really just depends on how much you're cooking. But ideally, I think it's best if you shop on Saturday or get your groceries on Saturday, because that's kind of a lot, especially these days with the pandemic and you've got to order ahead or you're waiting in line. You know, it's just not as easy as it used to be. And then Sunday, then you can do your meal prep. I don't really recommend doing it both on one day because I just feel like that's a lot for most people. But if you're like, hey, I just want to like compartmentalize and do it on one day, awesome. But if you're like, eh, I'd like to space it out, I'd like to have a little bit more time for myself, then, you know, that's kind of the way to go. That's what I do. Okay, so step two would be to look at your meal plan, which is the what. This is our wish list for the week ahead. Monday night, it's going to be Meatless Monday. Tuesday, I'm doing Taco Tuesday. Wednesday's pasta night. Thursday night's leftovers. Friday night, chili or barbecue. Maybe that's just a sample meal plan. So maybe you've made that meal plan And then you want to look at your ingredients or think about the ingredients that you'll be using for each of those meals. And then you look at that list of ingredients and you say, okay, like I'm planning on making burrito bowls on Tuesday. And so that's going to require like some brown rice, some beans, a salad on the side, maybe some salsa, some nice sauce, some chopped avocado, whatever it is, toppings of choice. Look at the ingredients for that meal and think to yourself, what can I do ahead of time on Sunday that will kind of cut down on that prep time during the week? And so, for example, the burrito bowls, I would look at the brown rice. And brown rice, if you cook brown rice, you know it takes a long time. I'm always like, I use a rice cooker and I'm always making this brown rice and it always takes longer than I think it's gonna take. So that's why I just stopped making it during the weeknights, because half the time I would be waiting for it to cook and be like, oh my gosh, like it's 7:30, we gotta eat. Why didn't I start this 2 hours ago? Brown rice takes forever. So I do it on the weekend. I just put it in a rice cooker, forget about it, and then I pack it when it's all done, I let it cool off, I package it all up, put it in the refrigerator, and then it's there for me for the week ahead. So step two, to recap, is just identifying which of those, you know, vegetables, greens, leafy greens, salad greens, any of that stuff that can be prepped ahead, just shift that over to Sunday. Because if you get to Tuesday and you've already cooked the rice, it's waiting for you, maybe you cooked your own beans and those are waiting for you in the fridge, or you might have just opened up a couple cans of beans, put the beans into a airtight container, you know, some sort of like Tupperware or something like that. You put that in the fridge. Then you have some avocados sitting around on the counter. Maybe you make a delicious sauce. I have an amazing vegan nacho cheese sauce on my website at monicametz.com. I highly recommend you check it out. It's made with potato and carrot and nutritional yeast and pickled jalapenos. It is delicious. So maybe you're doing something like that. Maybe you're just opening up a jar of salsa. You've got some hot sauce. But you see where I'm getting. If you, let's say it was Tuesday, and you wanted to have burrito bowls, and you kind of started that process at 5, maybe 4:30. Let's say you're ahead of the game. But let's say you started that process at 4:30. Well, gosh, now you have to wait for that brown rice to cook for at least an hour if you're using a rice cooker. So now you're getting it at 5:30. And then if you haven't made your beans yet, you got to do that. And it sounds silly to open up two cans of beans and like put that in a Tupperware container and put that in the refrigerator. But for a lot of people, that just eliminates a mental barrier. They open up the fridge. They're like, oh my gosh, I have cooked rice. I have cooked beans. I know exactly what to do. You know, sometimes if the beans aren't sitting there right in front of your face, we're overwhelmed. We don't know what to do. You know what I'm talking about. We get really tired and kind of cranky at the end of the day. So at least when you open up the refrigerator and you see all this stuff is ready to go, I have my cooked rice. I have my cooked beans. I have maybe some store-bought guacamole I bought to make life easier on myself. I have a jar of salsa. Now all you need to do is roll that out, and that meal that might have taken you, 30 minutes, 60 minutes to put together, all you're doing is warming stuff up and getting it to the table. So that is step two, looking at your list, looking at the ingredients, and just thinking about what parts of that 5-step, 10-step project called dinner, which of those steps can I move over to the weekend so that I can save myself time during the week? Okay, so now let's see some other things you might do. So step three, let's talk about step three. Step one was just setting aside the time and making it happen, making it a weekly practice, not just once, but doing this every week. Number two is just identifying which ingredients you might like to prep on the weekend. And number three, this is where we make it all happen. This is the actual meal prep session and what that looks like. So in the plant-powered starter kit at monicametz.com/starter-kit, your free download. It's a nice little PDF. You could totally print it out. I took this to FedEx Kinko's and had it printed up and bound. So now you can use it like a little book. But you will see, which will come in really handy, is there are the two pages I mentioned previously, which were batch it out what this might look like, you know, your weekend prep plus what happens during the week. And then this page, the weekend meal prep checklist. There you go. That's when, like, this is the page that you might want to have sitting in front of you when it's time on Sunday to do your meal prepping. So I have this whole checklist of things you can be doing. So one, okay, so my bias is helping people eat more veggies. So that's why number one, I start with rinse and chop your veggies. Because here's what happens. Like when you buy a bunch, when you get all inspired and you go to the farmer's market or you go to the grocery store, you order Instacart and you are like, darn it, I'm going to do this healthy eating thing. I'm going to get a whole bunch of veggies and you're inspired. So then the veggies come into your home. You put them in your produce drawer in the refrigerator. They're still in their plastic bags or not, but they're there, you know, in the produce drawer, but they're not prepped. And so guess what happens when you get to a busy weeknight? You open up that produce bin and you're like, oh, you know, those carrots are still kind of sitting there. They're whole. I don't really want to deal with that. Those beets aren't roasted. I don't want to deal with that. I don't have time. You know, the onion, I don't feel like peeling and chopping an onion. It's just hard at the end of the day. We don't want to do any of that. So whatever we can do on the weekend, we have more time, we have more energy, we have people to help us maybe, is we want to do all that side work that is just not the best. You know, it's not, nobody loves doing it. But hey, if on the weekend you can listen to a podcast, you can re-listen to this class on my blog. I have it as an audio file that you can listen to it. You can listen to, I don't know, you can be watching a documentary on Netflix or a cooking show or something like that. But, you know, make yourself kind of entertained and comfortable and then, you know, then start doing the kind of unglamorous work of chopping vegetables and rinsing greens and all that kind of stuff. So we could be rinsing and chopping our veggies, greens for sure, leafy greens. You want the most bang for your buck, you're going to get some leafy greens onto your plate. So we're rinsing and spinning our salad greens. Maybe we've got some kale, we have some chard, whatever it is. It's really best to deal with those greens on the weekend because when the week night comes, I don't even want to do that. And I love kale and I love greens and I want to have a salad on our table every single night. But if I'm out and if I haven't prepped, you know, appropriately, and then I look in my refrigerator and there's just like a whole head of radicchio just sitting there, it's not my favorite to deal with that at the last minute. So that's why I really try to do the greens when I have the time and when I have the energy. And also if I run out of greens during the week, I try to take care of those in the morning when I have more energy. I just wake up and when I'm making breakfast and my son's lunch, you know, that's when I kind of do a little bit of meal prep because the day is bright and shiny. I'm feeling energized and restored because I had a good night's sleep. That's when I do stuff like that. I don't leave it to the end of the day because I don't want to do stuff like that. Okay, so next. Now, this would be a pro move. You might consider making a salad dressing. So if you've never made your own salad dressing, it's so much better than store-bought. It will take you 3 minutes. You know, all you need is, you know, an acid like lemon juice or apple cider vinegar. Those are really common. A little squirt or dollop of Dijon mustard. Some salt and pepper. Maybe you want to put a little granulated garlic in there or, you know, some pressed garlic. And then a little bit of oil, like extra virgin olive oil. Just whisk that all together. It gets emulsified by the Dijon mustard. And bam, you have a beautiful salad dressing. Maybe you want to do something more complicated like I teach to my students, like a cashew cream or a tahini sauce. I have lots of recipes for sauces and dressings on my website at monicametz.com. But it would be really great if in your meal prep practice, you made some sort of a sauce because the way I teach my students how to prep their meals is to have these building blocks like, you know, beans, brown rice, very, very simple foods cooked and ready to go in the refrigerator. Because then when it comes to a weeknight and you're going to put this meal together, you know, the base of the meal may be very simple and very bland, to be honest, but then you get a really killer sauce on there. And your family members can trick it out with their own condiments of choice from what I call the condiment bar, you know, that we set up. Then, like, you haven't had to invest a whole lot of time in the cooking of things. It's really more in people being able to customize their meal with sauces, with hot sauce, with dressings, fun things like that. People are happy. They want to customize their own meal. And it works. It's a win-win for the home cook like you, because you're like, well, I didn't have to invest a lot of time making this fancy complex meal. It was actually pretty simple, but then we add our flavor and our complexity through a sauce or some sort of topping. So highly recommend making a salad dressing or a sauce. Some other things you might do, I mean, I mentioned the beans and the rice. Rinsing and drying your herbs. If you use cilantro, parsley, that's the kind of thing that really is doomed. When you put it in the produce drawer and it's in its little plastic bag, those things go bad pretty quickly, and then you just find it like a week later, 10 days later, in the bottom of your produce drawer, and it's all rotting, and you're like, oh my gosh, what's this? Oh, it's that cilantro that I was supposed to use. So on the weekend, if you can rinse those, dry them off. I like to put them in a just a glass jar with a little bit of water, like a vase of flowers, and that helps keep the herbs fresh in my refrigerator. Looking at my notes. Okay, so here, when you're navigating some family dynamics about, you know, people who want to eat a certain way, some of your family members are meat eaters, some of them are not. What can really be helpful, again, working with your building blocks of rice or quinoa or beans, you know, we have some basic building blocks that we would have in our refrigerator. Then to kind of customize for your people who have different preferences, you are batch cooking some proteins on the weekend. By that, I mean, if your family members, some of them like chicken or some of them like meat, some of them don't, you might batch cook like a batch of ground meat. If you're eating that, you might grill some chicken or bake some chicken or buy a rotisserie chicken and then get that all off the bone and then store that in a container so that when you come to the meal that you're going to prep on that weeknight, you're not making two different meals. You know, if you're going to make a spaghetti sauce, you can make it vegetarian. And then at the last minute, you know, you can serve up the vegetarian version of it for the person who's a vegetarian. And then you can add the ground meat and to the rest of the sauce, and that becomes the meal for somebody else. So, or if you're doing burrito bowls and some people want chicken and some people don't, the base of the burrito bowl is the same, but then other people get to add on their animal protein if that's what they want. So that's a really great way that you could start using this method to stop making two dinners per night. You might be making, you know, it's a variation of the same dinner, but it's not like making two dinners flat out every night, which is really, really just exhausting for people. Okay, so some other things you might do, definitely chopping the carrots, the bell peppers, cucumbers, whatever you like to have on your salads or for snacking throughout the week. You could make a batch of hummus. That would be an amazing thing to do, or just buy store-bought. I do that all the time. Living here in Portland, Oregon, I love King Harvest. Shout out, great company, great hummus. But that's an easy thing to have on hand for people to snack if they have their vegetables all ready to go. And here's a little trick. I like to slice off a side of a bell pepper, like a red bell pepper, orange, yellow. All of those are really high in vitamin C. I love to just have it like a little boat, kind of like that. I don't necessarily cut it into strips. I like to have it like in a little cup, basically. And then you can use that, like you can just spread a little hummus on top of it, and that makes a really nice snack or something to have on the side with your salad at lunchtime. Okay, and then another pro tip would be to make a double batch of soup on Sunday. We're getting into soup season, you know, over the summer, like people aren't that into it. But if you could make a batch of my veggie-packed chili, which is the recipes waiting for you over at monicametz.com, or any of the soups that I have on my website, like let's say creamy broccoli soup, make a double batch. You can enjoy that, you know, half of it for a really nice Sunday night dinner, or save it for your lunches throughout the week so you don't have to worry about your lunches throughout the week. And then you can save the rest of it, freeze it, for a night when you don't have many groceries, you don't feel like cooking, you looked at Caviar or Postmates or Grubhub and it's going to be like an hour before you can get any takeout. That is the night when you can just defrost that container of soup and you'll have a beautiful chili on the table in a very short period of time. Less time that it would take to get takeout. So that's really, you know, that's really the pro move. That's for someone who's spending, you know, probably a good 90 minutes in the kitchen on Sunday. But, I mean, look, like they are, when I do that meal prep on the weekend and I've got like an hour or 90 minutes under my belt, I sail through the week. Like this weekend, I made a potato salad for our lunches. I made a chickpea salad, a spicy chickpea salad for our lunches. I prepped a bunch of stuff so that it would be easier to make a pasta sauce, my lentil bolognese. And now my fridge is packed with food and it's Thursday. And now I'm saying, oh my gosh, like I almost prepped too well because now I have all these leftovers that we have to eat. I wish I would have frozen some of that earlier in the week, that bolognese sauce. But anyway, this is all to say that when you really dial in your meal prep, you will be set up for success during the week. Okay, so to recap, we talked about why you need a meal plan, the what, it's our wish list, and you need the meal prep plan to really bring it all together. That's where the magic happens. The meal plan is a wish list, it's what we want to do. The meal prep plan is the how are we going to get there. It's how we're actually going to execute on that plan. So we talked about that. We talked about changing your schedule a little bit on the weekend so that you can have time to prep. Talking to your people about it. This is what we're doing. I would love your help. Who's going to say no? Who's going to say I can't help you when they're getting home-cooked dinners all the time? Right? I got your back. But a lot of us don't ask for help because it seems easier if we just do it ourselves, or we don't want to rock the boat, whatever it is. Like, we're really good at that, a lot of us, primary home cooks. We're just like, well, I'll just do it because I'm good at it, or I'm interested in it, or whatever. No, like, there are plenty of ways other people can help us. Or they can just help with other chores that you don't have the time to do because you are cooking. So, really, ask for help. People are usually really happy to help once you sit them down and say, hey, this is going on. I would really like to make a positive change in our lives. And so this is my plan, and how can you help me with that? It's reasonable, right? We're not asking, it's not an unreasonable request. So I hope, if anything, I hope that whatever your meal plan and your meal prep plan look like, I hope that you are able to get some extra help for your meals because that in and of itself would be really helpful, right? Okay. Then, so we talked about doing that on weekends, and then we talked about, well, what exactly do we do when it comes to Sunday, and how do we prep it out? How do we batch it out? And what does that actually look like during the week? So we talked about burrito bowls might be an idea. You might prep some stuff out for an upcoming pasta sauce, like a spaghetti sauce, like my lentil bolognese. That recipe is, by the way, is not yet on my website. I need to work on that. I'm probably going to do it for a TV segment coming up. What else would I do? Oh, like I mentioned, my potato salad and like a curried chickpea salad or something like that that you can have for your lunches. And just, any vegetable or leafy green. Like for me, salad greens are really one of my biggest or most important parts of that meal prep is to get my salad greens ready to go. So at all times, I have a container of radicchio that's ready to go. That's just a green that we all love these days in my household. As well as kale, I always have that, and I almost always have some romaine. I like those three because they can kind of sit around for a while. I love baby lettuce and some of those young greens, but they don't sit around that long, and so I find that typically I have to go with some of those heartier greens for our salads. It's just easier for me. Okay, so that is our class. Let me know in the comments. Oh, I'm gonna look at the comments right now. Julia says, I love the starter kit. I just downloaded it. It's so nice. Thank you. Oh, Julia, I'm glad you downloaded that. I'm surprised you haven't done that already. So, anyway, I'm so glad that you have that. And it is so nice to have and print it out. It's not that long, it's only a few pages. So, if you did want to print it at home, I don't think it's gonna take out your printer cartridge or your ink cartridge. Some of the other things I do are a little bit longer. So, I wouldn't print those on a home computer, but this one's, it's a few pages long, but it will be really, really helpful. So let me know in the comments what resonated with you the most. Download the plant powered starter kit at monicametz.com/starter kit. That will be really helpful. Next week, I am going to wrap this all up with the third part of this mini workshop, which is really just more about how do we bring those meal prep ingredients from the weekend into the week ahead. I'll just talk a little bit more specifically about what those meals would look like. And then, if you liked this class, do me a huge favor, hit like, and then share it with a friend or a family member who could use this same advice or these ideas. Could be one of your family members who you're hoping to enlist some help from. So download that starter kit, monicametz.com/starter kit. Hit like if this was helpful to you. Share it with a friend or a family member who could also use this kind of support in the kitchen. So what else? Let's see. Kale says, I finally bought some tofu and I've never used it. Please reiterate how to prep and season it. Awesome. Okay, so tofu, I did a whole class on this in my membership for More Veggies, Less Meat. It is, it's not difficult, but it's unusual. Most people aren't used to it. And so the main thing to know, is it Kale or Kaylee? I'm not sure. Sorry if I'm not getting your name right. The important thing to know is, like, do you have extra firm tofu? Is it firm? Is it soft? Because the extra firm and the firm are going to go best in like a stir fry or a tofu crumble or a tofu scramble. It's kind of like an egg scramble. Soft tofu is used a little bit differently. That can be used in, in like Asian dishes, Chinese food that is looking for a soft tofu. It's just very different. So it's kind of more, not pudding-like, but it's more jiggly. And, you know, if people are just getting started, they may not be up for that. And so I always recommend firm or extra firm. And then you want to drain it. So you want it to, it's always packaged in water, unless you're getting that shelf-stable, really soft tofu, which I don't really cook with. I use that for dressings. I blend it usually. I use it for dressings. But if you have extra firm or firm tofu, you take it out of the package, which is usually in a little carton with some water. And then, so you discard the water. And then what you can do is put the tofu inside a clean kitchen towel on top of a plate and then put something heavy on top of it, like a cast iron skillet or, you know, a cutting board that has some cans on it. Or you can use a tofu press if you have that. But anyway, you're squeezing out the water so that if you decide to marinate it, the tofu will be able to absorb that marinade, which is my favorite way of using tofu. So usually I just press out the water, you know, 10 minutes or so to get that excess water out. And then I make a very simple marinade of just one part soy sauce and one part maple syrup. I know you're like, oh my God, sugar. We eat very little sugar in my household, or at least I do. I can only control my 13-year-old so much, but in terms of me cooking, I use very little refined sugar. And so maple syrup in a marinade, I'm not really that worried about it. But anyway, so it's one part soy sauce, one part maple syrup. I take the drained and pressed tofu, I cut it into little cubes, I put it in the marinade, and I refrigerate that for, you know, a few hours. No more than 24, because then the tofu starts to break down. Or sometimes I just give it a quick marinade, an hour, you know. And then I like to air fry it, because I have an air fryer that cooks it really quickly. Or you could just put it onto a baking sheet and roast it at 350 until, and stir it occasionally, but roast it until it's kind of golden brown and it has that consistency that you like. You know, pull out the tray, you know, kind of test it with your finger. If you want it to be a little crispier, then cook it a little bit longer. But that's generally how I use tofu. Or you can just cube it all up after you've marinated it. You can be stir frying something, some veggies, and then at the last minute, you tip those tofu cubes into your stir fry and then you just gently stir until warmed through. And you could serve it that way. And, you know, there are so many other ways you can use tofu. I did a whole class on this, like I said, that was like, you know, you can use it in scrambles. You can use it to blend, you know, blend it into sauces or desserts even. You can make a plant-based feta cheese with it. I did that a couple weeks ago, and that was really fun. So there are many ways that we can use tofu, but the main ways I think that people, if you're just getting started, would be just to, you know, press it, put it into cubes or cut it into cubes, marinate it, and then bake it or put it in a stir fry. Baking seems to be kind of more palatable for people at first because it's not soft. I mean, it might be soft on the inside, but it's kind of crispy on the outside. And so that's how I got my husband kind of started on tofu. When we first got married, he wanted zero part of it, just hard stop, no tofu. So it took me a while. But years later, Years later, he's a total fan. And I serve it once or twice a week. No complaints. Like my son, my husband, they both love it. But it does take time. But I would say that like soft tofu, he's okay with, but he really prefers that crispier tofu. So, Kaylee, sorry if I'm getting your name wrong. I hope that helps. Lisa, you had mentioned a tracker previously. Which one do you prefer? Did I mention a tracker today? Oh my gosh, am I losing my mind? Oh, are you talking about this kind of tracker? Let me know. Give me some details, Lisa. If you're talking about a tracker like my wearable, I wear a Whoop strap, and that tracks all sorts of things like my heart rate variability. I use it for my workouts. I use it to track my sleep recovery. That's really the most important thing to me, what my sleep recovery looks like. And then if it doesn't look so good, then guess what? The next day, if I wake up and I didn't have a good night's sleep, or I have even like a red, which means, don't put too much strain on yourself, then I definitely don't do a really hard workout, or I make sure that I get really good. I go to bed early that night. No, a few weeks ago. Oh, the food log. Okay, that's something different. I talk about that a lot in terms of mindfulness and self-awareness around what we're eating, and so. I don't really know the apps around that all that well. There are a million of them, at least. But I find, at least with my clients when I'm doing one-on-one work, I find that like a Google Doc that we can share, that works pretty well. Especially if you can download the app on your phone and you just have this Google Doc wherever you are on your computer, on your phone, that can help to just write down what you're eating. And the point of that is not necessarily to look at it later and well, it's definitely not to shame yourself. Let me put it that way. It's really just to cultivate some awareness about exactly what is happening. Because if you are someone who's trying to make some changes around weight loss or trying to switch to a different dietary protocol, or you're trying to cut out snacks or refined sugar or things like that, keeping track of your alcohol consumption. That's when it gets really helpful because you have to be aware of exactly what's going on before you can actually make change around it. So, I like to tell this example. It's kind of a weird example, but when I was in middle school, I had a friend who was really paranoid that every time she used the restroom, she was paranoid about some toilet paper being, hanging out the back of her pants. That was just her thing. She was constantly like, "Oh my gosh, do I have toilet paper?" And so I use that example because, like, if you have toilet paper stuck on your back or coming out of the back of your pants and you don't know it, you can't do anything about it. But if someone tells you or you look in the mirror, you're aware of the problem, easily fixed, right? It's kind of the same with our food log. We're so busy and we're so distracted often about eating. At mealtime, we're at our computers, we're watching TV, we're talking to people. We wander into the kitchen during the day, just grab some snacks. We really don't have any awareness about the totality of what we're doing until we write a food log, and then we're like, "Oh yeah, I forgot to include those corn chips I had," or "Oh yeah, I did have a cookie after dinner," or "Yeah, I did have two glasses of wine instead of one." You know what I'm saying? So if we can develop some more self-awareness around that, then we can see the trends. And then we can see where we need to make some change. So, sorry, Lisa, there are so many different apps out there that can be helpful to people. I'm not familiar with them. I just do really old school, like writing in my day planner. I do have a day planner, a paper one. I do have a Google Calendar and many other technical tech tools, but I like the paper planner more from a journaling standpoint. I like to write down like what I actually did that day, and then I keep my weight in that, and then I also, if I'm working on something, I might jot down some notes about if my weight is changing in a way that I don't like, then I can just go back to my notes and be like, "So what did I eat? Oh, I see the trend." Usually it's something obvious like going on vacation or the weekend. The weekend comes and people do all sorts of things they didn't do on the week. Very, pure and pious during the week, and then the weekend comes and they're like, "I deserve to do this. I want to have this takeout. I want to have pizza. I want to have more drinks." That's really kind of what sets a lot of us back. So anyway, I hope that is helpful. Kale says her name is pronounced like kale. Kale, that is awesome. You probably know this. Yesterday was National Kale Day, so I hope you celebrated. Okay, so I hope. Hey, Melanie. Oh my gosh, nice to see you here. So, Melanie, are you just joining us now? I feel bad because I'm just getting ready to wrap up, but you will be able to see the replay here very shortly because Facebook does that automatically. So, okay, just to wrap up. So, download your little starter kit at monicametz.com/starter kit. Peruse around the recipes if you want. Oh, I forgot to mention, inside the starter kit, I do have a sample meal plan that would probably be helpful. And then you'll see that all these dishes are linked. So if you were like, oh, I want to see what this smashed chickpea salad is all about, you just click on the link in the PDF and that'll take you to my website where you can get the recipe. So if you liked this class, if it was helpful, please share it with someone you know. Please hit like. Please leave me a comment about what resonated with you, what you want to know more about for an upcoming session. I love to get, all sorts of like questions from you because then that helps me to decide like what am I going to do a class on next. I'm trying to do these weekly here on my Facebook page, so I would love your input. If you're like, I've always wanted to know like this or that or kale with your tofu, let me know in the comments, and that way I can, put that together for a future session. So, all right, we did it in less than an hour. I am always trying to make these so much shorter, but there's so much to cover. I thought this was going to be faster too. But anyway, join me next week. I will be doing this earlier next week. I will be doing it on Wednesday at 9 a.m. because I have some other things going on Thursday. So please join me then. In the meantime, download that starter kit, share this with a friend, hit like, and I will talk to you next week. So thank you so much for taking the time out to be with me today and to make time, more importantly, for yourself, to make this whole healthy meal prep thing easier for yourself, less overwhelming, less hassle. I really want you to be able to have more fun in the kitchen and to have more fun making healthy food. So take care, and I will talk to you soon.